Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of a Very Stable Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Reed. You can check me out on Twitter at NiceReedSteve. You can check out the podcast at A Very Stable Pod. You can check out all the work that they do over at Stampede Blue at StampedeBlue.com. So on today's episode, we're going to talk about the Tennessee Titans game. We're going to talk about the big news this week of Matt Ryan being benched, Colts going with Sam Ehlinger for the rest of the season. And then we're going to look a little bit into guys the Colts might look into potentially trading if they do end up being sellers at the deadline. Or maybe they want to be buyers. Who knows? And then we're going to talk about the Washington Commanders game, which have lost a little bit of intrigue with Carson Wentz being placed on IR with a fractured finger. The only real big intrigue of it is the Jim Irsay versus Dan Snyder comments. I don't know how much intrigue that actually adds to the game versus intrigue that it just allows us to talk about something prior to the game. So looking at Tennessee, what frustrates me in this is week in and week out, at least for the past five times these teams have played over the past 2.5 years, Tennessee is consistently out-coaching the Indianapolis Colts. And I give full credit where it's due. Mike Vrabel is arguably the best coach. I'm not even going to say arguably. I think he's the best coach in the AFC South. And I think he's arguably one of the best coaches in the NFL. He consistently gets more out of his players than most any other coach. If you just look at the two rosters and you compare them one-to-one, I think the Colts most years are a better player-by-player roster. I do. I think they just are a better player-by-player roster. I think they're better than what the Tennessee Titans are. And it just happens that the Colts in this situation are consistently outcoached. And that goes on Frank Reich. I will say this. I thought the defense that the Colts had, I think they were great for this week. If you look at the game itself, the Colts only allowed 4 field goals. The defense did. And unfortunately, that touchdown that Tennessee got was on a pick 6 that Matt Ryan threw. And it was just really frustrating. But the defense was really, really spot on all day. Like, they didn't allow big gains to the Titans and they didn't allow touchdowns, which normally in most NFL games, if your defense only allows 12 points, you're going to win that game. And so that's what really bothers me about it, is the defense put them in a position to win and the offense just quite honestly fell flat. And part of that is on the offensive line, that Matt Pryor was still starting. That's really frustrating because it was clear that he's not an NFL lineman at this point in his career. I'm frustrated with Chris Ballard for giving him money like he's a starting offensive lineman, because it's pretty clear that he's not. And I'm frustrated with how the offense performed. I mean, if you look at that pick 6 that happened, Matt Ryan and Paris Campbell were clearly not on the same page. It was a hot route. Paris should have recognized it. Normally on a hot route like that, the wide receiver runs up and runs a dig, turns back to the quarterback, and is able to make that pass. Or you do an inside route, something like that. Very rarely do you run an outside route for a hot route in that situation. And so Matt Ryan threw that. Paris Campbell wasn't sure what was going on. Yeah, that's pretty clear, I think, to everybody. And then obviously Tennessee got the pick and ran it back for a touchdown. It ended up being one of the deciding factors in the game, because quite honestly, if the Colts are sitting there with just a field goal, if you're looking at that this game and the Colts just need a field goal to win, I feel pretty confident about how the Colts have done on special teams and being able to knock in a kick to win. You know, you're looking at a game that's 10 to 12 at this point. A 10 to 12 game going to the final possession. Matt Ryan, throughout the course of the season, has been able to bring the team back and win some games down the stretch on final plays, a bunch of game-winning drives, or to put them back into game-tying situations. Matt Ryan's been good at that. And you look at the offense on that play, if you look down, break down that film on that, Matt Ryan, quite honestly, I think Matt Ryan made the poor decision to throw to Paris Campbell in that situation, which ultimately obviously was the game right there that gave Tennessee the touchdown, the only touchdown that they scored. If you break that play down, you look out, Matt Ryan should have seen that Alec Pierce was one-on-one. And you know that Alec Pierce has got a go route. You know that safety is in the middle of the field, closer to the right side, shadowing Michael Pittman. So you've probably got one-on-one coverage over there with the safety doesn't have the ability to get over top on it, to be able to get over there and knock that pass down. Matt Ryan, as soon as he gets that, he should have looked and tossed it up to Alec Pierce, because throughout the season, Alec Pierce has gone and gotten those jump balls for Matt Ryan. He saved him a bunch. Alec Pierce has gone up and made big plays for Matt Ryan, and I just don't understand why either Matt didn't see it and he didn't trust him. But I find that hard to believe that he didn't trust him. So my frustration is that he didn't see it, because that would have been a touchdown. Alec Pierce had his guy beat. He was going to score a touchdown. Instead, Matt Ryan threw the hot route to Paris Campbell, and they were not on the same page at all, which ended up costing them, because Tennessee scored a touchdown there. Ended up ultimately not being the deciding factor in the game, but I think the Colts have a much better opportunity there to win the game, being down 10-12 versus being down 19-10. Obviously, one possession, you win the game there. The other part that frustrated me was, I'll give credit where it's due to Mike Vrabel and that coaching staff. I think it's interesting how they play and how they go about their business. Because if you watch the defensive line for the Tennessee Titans, it's frustrating. Because I'll bring this up too. Earlier in the game, on in the fourth quarter, there was a drive that the Colts were driving. Quentin Nelson got called on a hold, which was just clearly a really good pancake block. And the ref said that he took him down. All right, that I don't agree with it. If that's how you're going to call it, that's fine. Tennessee's possession, where they threw that big catch to Austin Hooper, where they made that circus double catch move on there. If you watch the film on it, you'll see two or three Colts pass rushers that literally had offensive linemen wrapping their hands around them, tackling them down to the ground, and there was no flag. So what frustrates me most about officiating is that I don't mind bad officiating. I do mind it, but what I mind is if they're consistent. What I don't like is bad officiating that is inconsistent. And it seems like the Colts happen to be on the short end of that stick week in and week out, year in and year out. And I have no idea why. Because if you have a set of officials that's just making bad calls, like, for example, that pancake block that was called a holding, at least you know, if they're going to call it on the other team, at least you know that's something you can't do. You can't pancake a guy. For this game, this officiating crew, they're saying, hey, you can't do that. My issue is, if you call it on one team, you got to call it on the other. And it's pretty clear the officials didn't do that. And I think that that's what frustrates me more than anything about the situation there with the Austin Hooper catch, is that Tennessee should have been called for a holding there, because they did the exact same thing that Quentin Nelson did a series or two prior that got called for a hold. And I will say this too. I think it's really interesting how they coach Mike Vrabel. He coaches the defensive line, or how he has his coaches coach the defensive line, because they do some pretty shady tactics in there. And I don't know how prevalent this is throughout the NFL. I don't see the Colts do it very often. So I think it's just something that's super shady that Mike Vrabel and maybe some other, like Bill Belichick, like, it's not cheating per se. It's like twisting the rules and seeing if the officials can catch it, kind of thing. But if you watch, there are a couple plays where Matt Ryan was pressured on the right side. And throughout the season, we've complained about Matt Pryor, who, again, I don't think he should be an offensive lineman in the NFL as currently. And I'm frustrated with Chris Ballard for giving him a paycheck as if he were a starting offensive lineman. But there's a couple plays where the Tennessee defensive tackle comes in, engages with Matt Pryor with the right arm, and then with his left arm, reaches out and grabs the inside of Braden Smith's jersey up by the shoulder pads to hold him up. What happens in that is it slows Braden Smith's ability to get out and get on that defensive end, especially if they're doing a stunt. And so the frustrating part about that is that, first off, that's illegal. You can't do that. It's defensive holding, just to start. But if they do it very quickly, all you need is a half second hold there for your guy to get around him. And so I don't think officials are looking at that in terms of the defensive holding aspect of it. I've seen DeForest Buckner got called for defensive holding, a game or two ago, where he was just double teamed by guys. And we're like, well, seriously, that's what you're going to call? Tennessee Titans legitimately look like they're coaching their guys to have a defensive holding situation on most of their stunts and twists. Like, the defensive tackle is literally getting in there, getting a hold of the right tackle, the left tackle, the inside of their pads, where it's very difficult for any official that's not on the line. The line judges would have a clear view of this. The judges that are behind the play, if it's on the inside shoulder pad, it's very, very difficult to see. And so all they need to do is do it for just a second, and they're able to get their guy free to get a free pressure. I think the NFL needs to look into that. I think Tennessee is, in a way, not, they are kind of cheating in that. It's they're having these situations where they're able to get away with not getting called on penalties. But yeah, so again, I'm very frustrated with the Colts in this situation. They dropped 3-3-1. They had an opportunity to really step up and take over the division from Tennessee, be a game and a half up. Unfortunately, Tennessee now is 4-3. Colts are half game behind, so they're not out of the AFC South by any means. And I think that's an important thing, important caveat to throw out there, especially given the news we're going to talk about here coming up next. And I'd say this, the head-to-head tiebreaker that the Tennessee Titans have over the Colts at this point, it's not really that big of a deal unless somehow Tennessee ends up tying a game later on in the season. Because ultimately, the Colts just have to have a better record than Tennessee. They just have to have one more win than Tennessee, and they can win the AFC South. So all's not lost for me in terms of this team, in terms of what they're doing moving forward. I'm just more frustrated with them continually being outcoached against Tennessee, who is their biggest division rival. And I think Jim Irsay is obviously similarly frustrated with them being outcoached. And I think that was pretty clear from his non-statement after the game, and then the announcement that we're going to get to in just a second, that Matt Ryan was benched and they're going to go with Sam Ehlinger for the remainder of the year. And that's the big news at this point, is the Colts are moving on from Matt Ryan after seven games. It's clear that it's unfortunate because Matt Ryan, he's not what he used to be. He's not what he was last year. It's clear that the arm has struggled a little bit. Decision-making has struggled, and part of that's on the offensive line. Part of that's on the play calling. Again, Frank Reich. But there's a lot of things that go around to this. And I think Matt Ryan was sold on a set of goods that, quite honestly, the Colts didn't deliver in terms of giving him those opportunities. That all said, Matt Ryan is a pro's pro. If you listen to his press conferences as of Wednesday, he was totally upfront with it. He was a team guy. He's a pro's pro. It's exactly what you wanted from a quarterback, no matter what the situation. I just feel bad for him because he came here with the expectation that he was going to compete for a championship. And depending how the rest of the season turns out, who knows? Maybe they might. I'm not sure of that. I'm not super confident in it. I wouldn't put any of my hard-earned money on the Colts winning a title this year. But who knows? I guess it could happen. I think there are a couple things here, though, that came into play when the Colts decided to make this decision. They looked at both the on-field aspect of it, and that Matt Ryan, under the current offensive line, if it's pretty clear Chris Ballard probably is not going to make another move in terms of upgrading the offensive line, although there's a couple guys that I think they should look at, like Austin Corbett out of Carolina, Tevin Jenkins, Chicago, both of those guys make a lot of sense for the Colts in terms of solidifying the right guard position. But if they're not going to make that move, it's pretty clear that you're going to need a quarterback that can be a little bit more mobile, run those RPO concepts. And Matt Ryan just isn't that guy. He's a pocket passer. He actually makes pretty good throws on the run, weirdly enough, but he feels a lot more comfortable in the pocket. Sadly, he never felt comfortable in the pocket that the Colts offensive line gave him. So that's frustrating in itself. Also, I mean, we kind of buried part of this, but Matt Ryan apparently suffered a bit of a shoulder injury in this last game against Tennessee. And that's also a little bit of a question mark. You don't want to send a guy out there that potentially has a shoulder separation or shoulder sprain, anything like that. So I understand why they would want to move on to Sam Ehlinger. I'd also like to point this out, and Mike Florio with Pro Football Talk mentioned this in terms of the contract situation with Matt Ryan, and I think that this is really interesting, is Matt Ryan's contract this year is fully guaranteed. However, next year's contract, $12 million of it is guaranteed. That would be the dead cap hit for the Colts if they went and cut Matt Ryan or moved on from him. $17 million of that, there's an extra $17 million that is guaranteed if there's an injury. So the Colts, by benching Matt Ryan right now, knowing that he's probably not the guy going forward, and he's just not what he once was, even 2 years ago. I think the Colts are kind of gambling a little bit and saying, hey, look, we don't want to put this guy out there given the offensive line has been as bad as it has been. Because if he gets hurt and has a big knee injury, like, I quite honestly, I was concerned on that last play against Jacksonville, that knee shot that he took on when Matt Pryor, surprise, surprise, missed a block. I'm not surprised that they went ahead and are going to bench Matt Ryan, because they don't want to necessarily be on the hook for that $17 million because of the poor O-line play. I think that if you know that he's not going to be the guy that's going to lead you to a championship this year and or next year, and you're looking to find out what you have, I think that making him go ahead and benching him is probably the right decision. If you want to see what you've got in Sam Ehlinger, who is a guy that Frank Reich and Chris Ballard were very, very high on. And you know that Matt Ryan's not the guy to go forward. He's good enough to win you a few games. He is. But unfortunately for the Colts, winning you a few games, getting you a 7-9-win record, really kind of tanks you for the future. I didn't mean to say tanks, but yeah, it kind of tanks your future, because it keeps you out of a position to be able to trade up to get a top quarterback option. And this year's draft, which has probably 4 to 5 pretty clear first-round quarterbacks. And so the Colts brass, they look at this situation, especially with Matt Ryan's contract. You can move off of $17 million guaranteed. If you make sure that he doesn't get injured and he can pass that physical, you get rid of that $17 million. You only have $12 million dead cap charge, which is paltry considered the $40-plus million that the Atlanta Falcons have for Matt Ryan this past year. I think that this is probably the best situation for all parties involved going forward. Quite honestly, if I were Chris Ballard and Frank Reich, what I would try to do in this situation is trade Matt Ryan to a team that maybe has a potential issue at quarterback that they think that they might be able to be in the race. So you look at maybe the NFC West. Seattle, you know, they've got Geno Smith. They probably feel pretty comfortable with that. San Francisco, who knows what they're going to do. Jimmy G, he's been okay. He hasn't been great, but they're right there in the division. You look at Minnesota. They're 5-1 right now. If Kirk Cousins gets injured again, they might make a big trade. Who knows? You know, there's a couple teams that make some sense as potential landing spots for Matt Ryan, even though that the Colts really, it's just not going to work out here in Indianapolis. So my hope is that they go ahead and do right by Matt and let him either release him or they trade him to another team. Who knows what happened? Shoot, this weekend, prior to the trade deadline, you might have a big quarterback go down, might get injured. Who knows? You might see Tua go down, or you might see, you know, Josh Allen go down. Buffalo might be panicky, try to go ahead and get a quarterback. And shoot, if I'm the Colts, I make that trade. See if you can at least get a third-round pick, get that third-round pick back, and try to move on and do right by Matt. Now, looking at Sam Ehlinger, I think it's important for a couple reasons to take a look at Sam Ehlinger as a starting quarterback for the Colts. One is Chris Ballard and Frank Reich have been very high on Sam Ehlinger. He's a sixth-round quarterback from University of Texas, so big program. Known for his poise, his leadership, his accuracy, doesn't have a big arm, and he's stepping in for a veteran that got injured in about midway through the season. And, you know, maybe we'll just see how this Tom Brady kid, I mean, this Sam Ehlinger kid works out. Because there's, I mean, joking aside, there's some similarities there between the two. And really, the similarities between the two is just that they are two guys that are very intelligent, very poised in the pocket, very accurate, went to big school programs, went in the sixth round. That's it. That's really the only comparison that there is between the two. I do not think Sam Ehlinger right now is going to be Tom Brady. Please don't take that out of context. I don't believe that. It's ridiculous to sit there and try to say that he's going to be the next Tom Brady. It's just a fun thing to talk about. Sam Ehlinger, though, does have a lot of, like I said, he's got a lot of poise, a lot of leadership. That was clear from the Colts the moment that he entered the locker room. is he was able to break down the team last year prior to the, I believe, Arizona Cardinals game or the Las Vegas Raiders game. And it was pretty clear. It was when Carson Wentz was sick, and then he got COVID, and then he got cleared like right before the game to be able to play, which for the Colts' sake, I wish they hadn't cleared him, and they would have just ran with Sam in that situation, but they didn't. It is what it is. But you look at this, and Sam Ellinger is a leader. Everybody on the team respects him. He's really smart, and he's athletic. And Sam Ellinger is probably going to end up being a big benefit for the run game because you're going to have that run-pass option that Frank Reich, really, his offense likes that. They like a quarterback that can do that run-pass option, and Matt Ryan just couldn't do it. So that was the frustrating part. If you look at Carson Wentz last year, he actually played pretty well on an overall basis. It's just he made really poor decisions with it. Sam Ellinger is not going to make those stupid throws that Carson Wentz tried to make because Sam Ellinger is going to trust his arm, but he's not going to think that he can just throw a guy open like Carson Wentz thought he could throw it into like triple coverage. Sam Ellinger is going to make the smart play. I think he's going to be really good for the RPO that Frank Reich wants to run. I think that he's going to be a great option for them. And he's going to really open up the running game, I think, for Jonathan Taylor in this situation. I think you're probably going to see him increase. I honestly think that you're probably going to see a lot of quick hitters for the Colts offense. So you're going to see probably more slants and crossers. So that seems to work in favor of Paris Campbell and Michael Pittman Jr. I also think that you're going to see Sam Ellinger work the middle of the field a lot more. You're going to see that with the tight ends. So those are like the two positions or two people that I think are going to benefit. There's Michael Pittman Jr., Paris Campbell, and then that tight end group, those three guys. I think they're going to have a really good opportunity to play very well with Sam Ellinger there at quarterback. You know, it's interesting, too, because if you read about Sam Ellinger, he also worked with Tom House, which is a guy, I mentioned Tom Brady earlier, but Tom House is a guy that worked with Tom Brady, worked with Drew Brees, to work on mechanics to improve velocity. The big gripe with Sam Ellinger coming out of Texas was that he couldn't make all the throws, that he would have trouble pushing the ball down the field, which those first preseason, that's true. Like, he didn't have the arm to make all the throws. I will say working with Tom House, I would feel a lot more confident with him making those throws outside the numbers. And I could see him being a guy that will translate that training and put it into the game, and there won't be as much of a drop off as there might have been with other guys. So I look at it like that. You know, people will say the Colts are tanking. I don't think so. I really don't. But I am going to say they are, and Chris Ballard's been kind of criticized for this. I think he's hedging right now, because what you want to do with Sam Ellinger is you want to put him in there. You want to see if he can play, because if Sam Ellinger is the guy and he can play, he could literally lead you to an AFC South title with this roster. He could. I know people might shake their heads and scoff at that, but he literally could do that if he's the guy. If he's not the guy, Colts are looking at maybe a 4-5-1 season. You're looking at a top 5, top 6 pick. You're getting yourself quarterback the future. I think this is a really smart move for the Colts going forward, because it for a couple of reasons. Like I said, you've got the Matt Ryan contract situation. You get yourself off of that $17 million guaranteed in case he gets injured. You put yourself in a position to give Sam Ellinger a chance to see if he can be the guy. Because if he ends up being the guy, you're pretty much set. You're good from there on out. And you get to see if he's the guy. And if he's not the guy, really, you're probably picking in the top 10. And you're going to get your shot at a quarterback. You're going to give Chris Ballard, assuming Chris Ballard and Frank Reich are still here next year, which, again, not 100% certain of that. Quite honestly, I think Frank Reich might be gone regardless of what happens, unless there is a massive run that takes him to the Super Bowl. I think Frank Reich's probably on the way out. You hear different things. You hear Michael Pittman after the game make comments about the play calling. That's a shot at Frank Reich, and I think he might be losing that locker room, to be totally honest with you. But Frank Reich might be on the way out. But even if he's not, like, you want to give him an opportunity to get that quarterback the future. And I think that's what Jim Irsay and Chris Ballard and Frank Reich talked about after the Jacksonville game. There was rumors that there's reports that they had a long meeting with Irsay and made that decision to go with Sam Ehlinger over Matt Ryan because of that conversation. I think Chris Ballard and Jim Irsay had come to that conclusion already. And that long conversation was to talk to Frank Reich and say, hey, look, you've got to be on the same page. And that's what it, in my opinion, that's what it was, is Frank Reich was probably trying to support Matt Ryan in that situation because, again, Frank Reich goes to bat for his guys. I feel like starting Sam Ehlinger is the wise decision for the long run and for the future of this franchise. Because, again, it gives you a chance to see whether he's the guy. And if he's not the guy, you're going to be picking in the top 10 and you're going to get your opportunity to get the guy. And that's ultimately what it is. So with the trade line deadline coming out, I won't talk to you all before trade deadline happens. So if I'm the Colts, I'm potentially, if I think that the season's going to go awry. So after this weekend, if the Colts lose to the Washington Commanders, I would probably look to sell. And I'm saying that because I think that it's probably the best move for the long term. The guys I would look to potentially trade away for the Colts, you can't trade away Shaq Leonard. You can't trade away Quentin Nelson, just for their contracts, to be totally honest with you. You could trade away Yannick Ngakoue if you really wanted to. I like Yannick in this system, so I don't think he's a guy that you look to trade away. I would probably look to trade Ryan Kelly, the center. I think that you can move off that salary and probably get, you know, maybe a late day two pick on that, maybe round three pick for him. I would trade Kenny Moore because, quite honestly, he hasn't produced in the system. I would trade Matt Ryan if I can. And I think Kenny Moore, I'll say this, I think Kenny Moore, the most logical thing is to trade him to Chicago. He excelled in Matt Eberflus's system. I think he would do it again. He struggled heavily in Gus Bradley's system. So even though he played a couple games well in there, on the whole, he struggled a lot. And so you have to look at that and say, all right, well, what's the best move for him going forward? I think it's to trade Kenny Moore. I know that's not a popular opinion. Other guys I would look to trade, I mean, Paris Campbell, he's coming off a rookie deal. He's going to be there. Bobby Okereke, or Bobby Okereke, I think that he might be a guy that they look to trade if they do go all tank mode. You got EJ Speed coming up on a contract. You just gave Shaq Leonard a big deal. I think that would be a tough one there. Other guys, I'm not sure that they trade a lot of other guys after that. I mean, you're not moving Jonathan Taylor. You're not moving Michael Pittman Jr. You're not moving Alec Pierce. You're probably not moving any of the tight ends. You don't have anybody. Maybe you trade Stephon Gilmore so he can be on a contender if you lose this week. In terms of trading four guys, again, I think the only position I think the Colts should trade for in this situation is that right guard position, which isn't very sexy, but it is what it is. I don't see the Colts making any moves there at the wide receiver position. I know there's talk of Moore over in the New York Jets once out. Elijah Moore, I don't think that's a trade the Colts make. Kadarius Toney with the New York Giants is a guy that's probably on his way out there from the wide receiver position. But I just don't see the Colts looking at other past catchers because they probably feel pretty confident with Michael Pittman Jr., Alec Pierce, and Paris Campbell. So that's kind of my thoughts on that. Looking at this game ahead to Washington, I really don't know what to think about it. The biggest question mark, I think, for the Colts is that offensive line. Washington defensive line is really good. Their defense is really good overall. So I don't feel great about this being Sam Ehlinger's first start. I think it's going to show us a lot and show us what Frank Reich wants to do with his offense. I think you're going to see a lot of RPOs, a lot of really fast-hitting action over the middle. I think probably the best thought process for the Colts is to attack the middle of the Washington defense. That tends to be their soft spot. So that's where I would go after them. I wouldn't try to, and that's in the passing game. I wouldn't try to go outside. I would just do your thing, Frank Reich. Call your play. See if you got Sam Ehlinger. See if he's the guy. The defense side of the ball, I think they need to be more attacking. I think if you can win the turnover battle, the Colts have a good opportunity to win this game. But yeah, that's going to be it for today's episode. Again, talked about that Tennessee Titans game, the Matt Ryan situation, him being benched, Sam Ehlinger, now the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. and then talking about the Washington Commanders game coming up. So thanks again, everybody, for listening. Again, my name's Stephen Reed. Check me out, Nice Reed Steve, on Twitter. Follow the podcast at A Very Stable Pod. Check out StampedeBlue.com. Remember to rate and review us 5 stars. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.